Welcome to Take 5, a podcast brought to you by New Leaf Training and Development. Each edition is an inspiring interview with a leader worth listening to. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Paul Butler. I'm one of the client partners at New Leaf Training and Development, and I'm so delighted to be joined today by Jess Stone. Jess, can you believe it? For nearly 20 years now here at New Leaf, we've focused on our core purpose of helping people and organizations better manage themselves, lead others, and grow business acumen. I just wondered, what are your recommended best practices to help people and organizations be their best? But please do start there by telling us a little bit more about what you do and who you serve. So over to you, Jess, and I'll wrap it up when you're done.
Thank you so much, Paul. Well, similar to you, I have spent 20 years in leadership. I've managed teams of more than 100 people, sales, service, and operations. And early in my career, I worked in residential treatment with abused and neglected children. And today I'm a mom of two small children. So I've had plenty of opportunities, both professionally and personally, to shape and refine my leadership style over the years. So to share my best practices for helping people and organizations be their best, I want to tell a story that I think a lot of people can relate to. This is a personal story to me that left a big impact, and I want to share it with you, and hopefully your followers can relate. So several years ago, I was disciplined by my boss, and I'm someone who has very strong business acumen. I have a meticulous attention to detail. It was a hard blow. In my career, I can count on one hand the number of times I have truly dropped the ball. And that's probably because I am just a meticulous planner. I have a little bit of underlying anxiety that probably contributes to that as well. So it usually keeps that from happening. But it was a Friday afternoon, a task landed on my plate that I was not familiar with. And there was no one that I could call, Slack, or email for support that would have known how to guide me through this task. And my mistake created risk for the company, and my boss had to have a coaching conversation with me. So in the conversation, he laid out the details of the error. He explained the business impact. He told me how disappointed he was in me. And as someone who always has very high standards, it really hurt. And I felt the blow of that conversation. And he asked me if I wanted to take the rest of the day off, knowing that the conversation might be upsetting. And I thought about it for a moment. I declined. I thanked him, and I promised to learn from the experience, which I did. But later that afternoon, I went out to grab lunch at a local cafe. I'm still kind of reeling from that experience, trying to get some fresh air. I'm walking through the community. And as I waited for my order, I saw him walk in. And I looked up and smiled, trying to ease the tension. And he diverted his eyes. And so when I got my food and I passed by him to leave, I gave a small wave and he looked the other way. And as I'm walking back to work, I kept thinking about what just happened. And I realized how uncomfortable, difficult conversations can be. Even for leaders, even for tenured leaders such as him. I mean, he's very tenured, experienced, someone I looked up to. He has led a lot of people over the course of his career. And the more I thought about it, I was going through these emotions, and I realized the emotion that I was feeling was anger. And I was asking myself, like, why was I, the one who had just been corrected, making an effort to smooth things over? Why wasn't he offering a smile or a nod or even a word of encouragement? And he could have said something like, I know this was hard to hear, but let's set up some time next week and we can work through this, and I can help you build confidence in, you know, XYZ area. But instead, he pushed me away. He asked if I wanted to go home early. He didn't even try to engage with me after that. Even like later on in like the passing weeks, there was very minimal engagement from him. And I used that feeling and that opportunity to reflect on my own leadership style. And I started thinking, have I ever made one of my direct reports feel the way that I felt that day? I felt stupid. I felt small. I felt ashamed. I felt unsupported. And I had to admit that I probably had. And I vowed that I would never let myself be that type of leader again. So here's my best practice for helping people and organizations be their best. Never have a conversation with someone that would make you uncomfortable sitting down to lunch with them afterwards. That is the lens I use when I walk into difficult conversations. Even those that would involve disciplinary action or termination, those conversations should always be approached with kindness, with care, and with a genuine desire to support the person in front of you. And I truly believe that no one shows up to work or life wanting to fail. People want to succeed. They want to contribute. They want to feel proud of what they do and how they do it. But the reality is, we all carry things with us: stress, fear, fatigue, past trauma, self-doubt, even just like the chaos of a bad day. And sometimes those things show up in ways that look like mistakes or missed deadlines or poor decisions, et cetera. And so, as leaders, it's easy to zero in on the outcome and forget about the person behind it. But when we pause and take a step back and really choose to see the full picture, the context, the effort, the intent, we give ourselves the opportunity to lead with empathy instead of ego. So I want to share that seeing past the mistake doesn't mean ignoring accountability. I think accountability is very important. And I did appreciate the accountability that I was given that day and the opportunity to learn, but that also must be paired with humanity. Growth does not come from shame, it comes from support. And when people feel safe to fail, when they feel safe to try and to stretch, they can innovate, and they can trust that they're going to be coached and not condemned. And when we can create that sort of psychological safety, it becomes the foundation for real performance and long-term success. So when you sit across from someone in a tough moment and you are navigating that conversation, remind yourself that this is a human being first, not a title, not an employee ID, not a problem to solve, but a whole person with a story that you might not fully see. And your job as a leader is not just to correct the mistake, but to care for the person. Because at the end of the day, leadership's not about power, it's about responsibility. Responsibility to guide, to protect, to build people up, not to tear them down. And in doing so, you don't just help them become your best, but you become your best.
Yes, I think I think at this point we've had about 240 of these episodes. I think that's probably one of only a handful of times where someone's actually shared a true story. And I can see so many principles within that story that you shared. And I just think stories are a very powerful way of communicating realities and inspiring people. So I really do appreciate that. I wish we had more time because I'd like to kind of unpick those principles because I really do align with those and agree with those. If I could just give a shout out to the subscribers to keep an eye on the events page for the activities that we have going out on throughout the course of the year, most of which are available.